cases 98437, 98499, Gulf Alloys versus KeyBank National Association. Justice Resnick has recused herself in this case. We're very pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Resnick, Judge James Sweeney, a judge of the Court of Appeals, sitting in the 8th District. Mr.
between Jensen and this case is that Jensen, in that case, the third party was an active participant and or a party. In this case, they were neither.
In this case, Your Honor, they were neither. And that's correct. That is the distinction. I guess really the distinguishing characteristic, and you have to look at the decisions that are relied upon by this court or cited by this court, the Jensen case, the Malay case, the Mennonite case. The overall objective there and distinguishing characteristic was to protect persons who in no other way had any practical manner or method by which to learn of the state of the pending action. As the court knows in the Mennonite case, that case involved the issue of whether or not a mortgagee had an interest that rose or that was sufficient to warrant due process. There was an Indiana statute that provided for notice with respect to owners, but not notice with respect to mortgagees. In that case, the mortgagee had no way of knowing that there was a foreclosure even going on. The mortgagee continued to receive payments and had absolutely no way to know about whether or not it was, in fact, proceeding that would affect negatively his interest in the property. But that's in stark contrast to this case, Your Honor. In this case, the appellee was served by certified mail, copies of the complaint. The athlete was thereafter notified of the foreclosure decree and the judgment order confirming the sale and order of distribution. If anything, I submit to the court that the appellate, for the appellate in this case, did more than was required in due process. I am mindful.
How do we square that away with our traditional thought that a duly recorded mortgage is notice to the world? And why else do you have to do anything else?
Sir, if I understand Your Honor's question, the question is,
why was the appellee? Why did somebody with a duly recorded mortgage, which clearly is noticed to the world, that they have an interest as of that date in that property? Does the statute in foreclosure require them to respond?
Mm-hmm. Does it require them to respond to complaint?
Mm-hmm. For foreclosure.
I'm not sure I'm prepared to answer that question, Your Honor.
Or could they just go through the whole foreclosure proceeding, sit there, and then when it comes time to disperse the money, say our claim is first? And where does the statute say that?
The statute doesn't say that, Your Honor, but many of the cases that are cited in the brief do include that minimum dicta with respect to that, citing Mennonite and Mullane. That is that a party has an obligation to keep track. In some cases, in Mullane specifically, at 399 U.S. 306, page 314, states that the party is unreasonable and fails to connect to that person. Despite its ability to do so, due process is not required to save that person from losing the property. So I'm concerned, of course, for that. I think it's important, again, to put back to the Lane and Mennonite case, to the other thing for the court's decision in the Jensen case. The Lane case involves the New York Accounts Viewer statute, where the state provided for trust companies to pool trust funds, smaller dollar amounts into a common fund, and for the administration of that state. It also provided a notice requirement by which any petition for judicial settlement of the account had to take place. The only notice required, however, was notice by publication, and the court in the Lane found that notice by publication was not the best notice to be afforded. Certainly, and in all likelihood, would not be reasonably calculated to put a potential beneficiary on notice of the fact that the claim was filed for this strictly a judicial accounting for settlement to take place. Again, that case involved an indistinguishable from the fresh case because the beneficiary in that case would have absolutely no reason to know the fact that there happened by chance, happened to come across the notice of publication, and the knowledge of the fact that there had been a petition for a judicial settlement of the account. Again, that case is distinguishable from the present one. The one other item, I guess, is there is this suggestion or notion that's been raised by the appellee in this case that because we provided them with a notice of the final order of confirmation and distribution, that because the judge actually entered that order within 7 days as opposed to 14 days after the sheriff's bill, but somehow that triggered an additional duty or obligation to provide notice of the sale. The record will speak for itself. The record will show that notwithstanding the fact that the appellee in this case did receive actual notice after the sale had taken place, within a sufficient period of time to set forth its interest, it did not. It wasn't until a year after the foreclosure complaint was filed, nearly 5 months after the sale took place, that the appellee in this case first made its appearance.
May I ask counsel, Mr. Sweet, what's the purpose, what was the purpose for inserting this right to, the right of the bank to come forward within 14 days of the sheriff's sale, inasmuch as they had defaulted?
There is some question in my mind as to holding a senior lien holder with respect to real estate. We wanted to allow the senior lien holder to take every opportunity to state its interest. We did so by allowing it an opportunity within 14 days of the entry of the order to set forth its interest. I guess to the answer to question, Justice Cook, it was drafted in that way, so it was not technically the fault of the senior lien holder. I will, however, and I do want to report, I guess.
But they were technically, I mean, they were defaulted eventually. It's just one more chance. Well, why does this person, what's the thinking that you get three chances?
I guess the thinking, Your Honor, is to try to restrict respect the interest of the senior lien holder.
The senior defaulting lien holder.
That's correct. And I, well, I can't cite the case except this morning. I believe that there is some law to the effect that it is inappropriate to default a senior lien holder. In this case, it would have been the appellee. But, Your Honor, you are correct. The facts are that in this case, and as the records will show, they made no appearance. They did not answer the complaint. It wasn't until a year later that they made an entry of appearance. Until that same time, they hadn't even entered the case. So I would argue that, as a matter of law, the 29th day they were default. Had they set forth, and in this case, most of the because the gentleman in court was concerned about the unsuccessful bidder being prejudiced by the fact that he didn't receive actual notice. There's no prejudice in the case. Even assuming, for the sake of argument, that there was some error with respect to the bidder to give notice of the actual date, time, location, and sale. Prior to the sale, the athlete had 14 days in which the state of Winter began. And if you're interested, that's what the confirmation order provided for. The sale ultimately ended up being $59,000. The interest reflected by the records showed that they had potentially $40,800. So they would not have been prejudiced by not receiving actual notice prior to the sale itself. I think there was a growing trend, as pointed out in the Funco case, by the appellate court, to draw the distinction that I'm asking this court to draw today, and that is that Jensen applied not to a defaulting party in a foreclosure proceeding or to a party that has failed to protect its interests or to be active in the proceeding. I believe that we need some guidance from this court with respect to the issue of whether or not the defaulting party in a foreclosure proceeding is entitled to actual notice of the date, time, publication of the sale. I'd argue and submit to the court that they're only entitled to what is provided otherwise under 23.29.6 of the revised code, which is notice by publication.
Are they not entitled to a motion for default judgment? As you know, the appellee raises that as one of the points the appellee mentioned, that there was no default judgment, no motion for default judgment here. What's your response to that?
My response to that, Chief Justice, is that notwithstanding the fact that there was no motion for default judgment filed, ultimately the court did find that the appellee failed to defend its interests. And as a matter of law, based upon the undisputed facts of the record, the appellee made no appearance. The appellee did not answer. On the 29th day, I submit to the court that as a matter of law, notwithstanding the fact that there was no motion or no formal judgment, the appellee technically was in the form of the 29th
day. Your clients didn't have any interest in having a judgment against KeyBank. They're defaulted by virtue of the findings in the foreclosure proceedings, but you weren't looking for any relief from them.
That's correct.
Not to recover from the bank in any way.
That's correct.
I think their point must be that it's another point at which the defaulting party is given notice that they're defaulting and that they may, their interest may be affected by that. I will ask, or now ask, but I think that's probably the point that is being made.
I guess the most important thing that I'd like to emphasize is that, again, I believe that a curable reason that I'd like to the curable reading of Mennonite's blank case, Jensen case was decided by the appellant in her brief, supports the fact that really the issue of actual notice is intended to protect those who have no other practical way to learn about the tendency to proceed against public assets.
I thought it was a practical matter, for example, if you're saying to somebody who holds a personal order chain, you miss the sheriff's sale, you run the risk that the property is going to be knocked down for less money than you'll win, and you may want to be there to do it again. But, I guess I didn't sense that when the sale is concluded, that somehow your lien, if you have the first lien to do something, since then,
Yes.
Just somehow, that just, you just jump across that and ignore it and move on to the next party. And distribute whatever proceeds there are.
I have one reserve 2 minutes, but I'd like to just respond to your question. I'm not sure that I understand that.
My question is, even if they don't answer here, that they're there, that they're the first priority, is that somehow just extinguished by their failure to put any appearance in the case? That doesn't sort of have an obligation to marshal the...
It doesn't extinguish their efforts, Your Honor, and that's why we tried to make sure that the active disclosure decree reflected their interests. What it does, in my opinion, is discharge any further due process obligations over the appellate, which has what we're doing in the case.
Thank you, Mr. Swain. Mr. McNally.
I have a question for you, Mr. McNally. What do you say is the source of any obligation on the part of the filer of this foreclosure action to give you this 14 days, this opportunity to raise your, bring, assert your interest within 14 days of the sheriff's sale? No, it's not obliged. On the other hand, could this be considered harmless error, non-prejudicial, that you didn't get notice in as much as you had these 14 days? You did have notice that there were 14 days after the sheriff's sale, and I know the judgment was entered prior to that, but no peep was heard out of your client till a long time after the judgment was entered. Was it 5 months or something? Yeah. So, I mean, are we even talking? If you indeed could be said to be in the same shoes as a Jensen sort of person. Yeah, you had 14 days and you didn't come forward until that had long expired.
The reality, Your Honor, you were meant to have 14 days.
But you had a copy of that, though. Didn't your client get a copy of the confirmation of sale?
Your Honor, we got a copy of the confirmation of sale, but there's nowhere in that confirmation order does it indicate when the sale date was. As a matter of fact, it indicates that America not in addition to the due process argument, I will admit that
you, like the Chief Justice, say, I'm concerned, why would Galt Alloys want to take a judgment against you? They didn't need a judgment. But what they do have is... Yeah, go ahead. Well, no, that, yeah, I know that part. But the whole concept of they should have moved to get a default judgment against you, that's your argument.
Well,
and but you have the trial court putting it right in, you know, that you failed to file an answer, which you admit.
Correct.
Okay.
But if we would base our, this court's holding on holding the cases that are cited in favor of the appellant, they indicate that in those cases, number one, they were in default case.
Those were parties who were owing money? Were those, and I don't know that this is true, but in those other cases, the judgment sought against the defaulting parties was a money judgment? There was money owed from those parties? Okay, I'll check it. Go ahead. Right.
Absolutely no sale. My contention is the foreclosure process in Ohio then there's a bail proceeding. The bail proceedings are statutory in nature. They require appraisal of the property. They require notification of third parties. And they require submitting of the share state. If the party somehow is not the involved, may not be able to or may not be able to go forward to file on the answer. And if not notified of the sale date, it's deprived of its ability to make sure that the property was appraised on actual view as required by the statute, that appraisal was adequate under the circumstances, that proper notification of third parties was given. It doesn't have the opportunity to tell other parties that the property is about to be sold. And again, it doesn't have the opportunity to attend the sale, protect its interest, and see that that sale is adequately and properly held. Under those circumstances, it would seem to me, if this court said that defaulting parties are only entitled to a notice of a share sale if they participate in the case, that the court would be inviting frivolous answers, and the answers that are being tendered solely through the label foreclosure case seems to me to be counterproductive.
Why could an answer be filed saying some interest? At least they've gotten notice and they're awake and they're their interest is enough in advising the court that proceed. Get it over with. I mean, what's difficult about that?
I assume that should be spent around within approximately 35,000 cases, but I've never seen such a thing.
Probably it doesn't happen.
I assume that it could happen.
So you're saying
What a quick analogy is the action of the defaulting by the defendant party as a waiver?
Sure.
To receive further notice?
I don't know.
Well, we know that a party to a foreclosure can contractually waive the right to receive notice.
Correct.
Well, ergo, why couldn't this be construed as a waiver from further notice?
I don't know.
That's the Packer case out of Summit.
Thank you, Mr. Minnelli. Mr. when you save 9 seconds, you may take 30 seconds. 30 seconds, take 30 seconds.
Thank you.
If you like.
I just quickly, your own perspective issue of holding the address of being out of us, whether or not we should freeze and send notes. Again, those cases are distinguishable. Those cases involve parties that otherwise had absolutely no notice of proceedings to take place. With respect to this issue of not having to put on an answer, but nevertheless being entitled to some notice of the actual sale, I think that explains where the Rule 5 is the procedural pertaining to whether or not the
county put an answer on.
The county, I believe that the county did put an answer on the notice, did actually participate in the proceedings, and there is certainly a sense that they got their terms off track. They did. Let me just end with this. The Chief Justice Marshall wrote long ago, and I think it's consistent with what he stated, and this is in the Senate opinion and Mennonite. It is a part of common jurisprudence for all those who have an interest in property to guard that interest by persons who are situations protected. And I submit to the court that when put on notice the fact that there is proceedings may adversely affect that interest, if you don't participate at that point, you are not liable to any further problems. I appreciate your attention.
Thank you. When the case is submitted, you'll be advised of our opinion. The Marshal, please report.